You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
Packers Talk.
Recent history, while limited, shows that when the Green Bay Packers and Cincinnati Bengals face off, it's likely to get weird. Sunday afternoon was no exception. Holy mother of God, it was no exception. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down Green Bay's, I've never seen anything quite like it, is this real life? This game has gone to plaid. 25-22 overtime win over the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium. The first noon kickoff of the season for the Packers. The time God intended NFL games to start. I fully believe that. And you know, I don't know if they woke up with their piss hot, as head coach Matt LaFleur indicated they'd need to earlier in the week. But in the end, the piss was hot enough. The piss wasn't scalding anyways, but it was just hot enough. Hot enough to serve properly. Chris, who wants to serve piss? Just go with it, man. It's my birthday, okay? Just work with me. That's right. In case you forgot, today, October 10th, is my 40th birthday, the big 4-0. So a special birthday episode of the show where you are not allowed to disagree with anything I say because it's my birthday and, well, those are the rules. Nice to see the Packers give me that extra gift. I do appreciate that. The last time they played on my birthday, unless I'm forgetting something, and I don't think I am, was back in 2010, the Super Bowl season. They lost 16-13 in overtime to Washington at FedEx Field. Happened to be at that game. The entire Old Bag of Donuts crew was at the game. Adam, Gene, and I were all there. It was a lot of fun until the game started. Not so much fun after that. What a disaster. I just remember FedEx Field, everything you've heard about it being the biggest dump in the NFL is 150,000 fucking percent true. It is a toilet. I remember the credit and debit card machines stopped working throughout the entire stadium in like the first quarter. So Adam had to go, he had to wait in line at an ATM and take money, then wait in line at the concession just to get a beer, and he missed like a good chunk of the first quarter. Adam, Gene, and I, the three of us, were like way up. We were joking we were higher than God and like the 9,000 level at FedEx Field. It was like Rodgers suffered a concussion I think he suffered a concussion, but he stayed in. He played terrible. There was a game Finley blew his knee out. Clay Matthews had like 18 sacks in the first half and then injured his hamstring. No way, Clay Matthews. Could you have ever seen that coming? He injured his hamstring like late in the first half and didn't return. Donovan McNabb was the quarterback for Washington. Just a nightmare. On top of that, it was like warm. I was incredibly hungover from the night before. Fun birthday. And I thought today, I kept joking with my wife. I was like, Jesus, today's heading that. And then we went to overtime. I was like, oh my God, this is exactly like the Washington game on my birthday 11 years ago. Like, oh, the parallels. It was playing out that way. And then, of course, the Packers won, so. Today, so, you know, worked out a little different, a little better, which is good. And in case you don't follow on Twitter, no, I didn't end up going to the game, sadly. I know I talked about I was going to go, and then I said last week I was going to come down to the wire. It did. Just didn't quite work out. As you might have guessed, it can be pretty difficult to find proper babysitting for your twin three-year-olds for a three-and-a-half-day period. So, yeah, just didn't quite work out. Babysitting stuff kind of fell through. So, yeah, here I am. I'm here in Milwaukee, as always. And you know what, though? That might have been for the best, honestly, that I wasn't there. Because I am not sure I could have survived actually being at the game. I guarantee one of those missed field goals would have caused, from either Crosby or McPherson, would have caused my head to explode. My last tweet would have just, one of those kicks would have missed, and my last tweet would have just been, ah, and my head would have exploded. And that'd be it. I'd be dead. I would have died on my 40th birthday. And how sad would that have been? It would have been... He died doing the thing he loved maybe the most, or one of the things he loved doing the most, but also the thing that gave him the most agitation and ultimately ended up killing him, the Green Bay Packers. So that would have that would have made sense, though. And who wants to end up in the hospital on their birthday? Or jail? Because, there's a chance your old pal Limps may have ended up in the pokey tonight. For sure. There's a chance, over time, Crosby's missed three kicks in a row, three field goals in a row. LaFleur's going to send him out. There's a chance wherever I was sitting, I would have just run down, jumped the rail, and, like, bear-hugged Crosby and just been like, no, he's not going in to kick. Matt, do something else. He's unavailable. He's not kicking. And then I would have been arrested, and that would have been a mess. So, again, probably for the best they didn't end up going. Anywho, with the win, the Packers improved to 4-1 on the season and, of course, will remain all alone in first place in the NFC North. Chicago Bears remain in second place after their 20-9 road win over the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday. More on the Bears at the end of the show. The Minnesota Vikings improved to 2-3 and stay in third after their last second 19-17 win over the Detroit Lions in Minneapolis on Sunday. A loss that keeps the Lions winless at 0-5 and in dead last. Since I've already derailed a couple of times, if you'll allow me this, which you have to again because it's my birthday. The Lions also earned a dubious distinction as a result of the loss. They are now the first team in NFL history to lose on game-winning field goals of 50-plus yards with no time left on the clock twice in a single season. Folks, it's week 5. Let me just say that one more time. It's week 5. There are still 12 weeks left in the 2021 NFL regular season. And already, the Lions have earned this honor. And since it's my birthday, and I'm drinking Charles Woodson Intercept Wine, Cabernet Sauvignon, Charles Woodson Intercept Wine, and it's damn good. When you do a show on your birthday, you got to go with the best. You got to go with Charles Woodson Wine. And that's what I'm drinking, and it's good stuff. So since it's my birthday and I'm already a few glasses of wine in, and I'm in a good mood, I'm going to do something I normally wouldn't do. I'm rooting for the Detroit Lions next week. That's right, damn it. I am rooting for the Detroit Lions next week. They're at home. They're hosting the Bengals. And I want to see them win. I do. Come on, man. It's not like it's going to affect the Packers in any way. Who gives a shit if they win? We don't care. They're not going to, like, challenge us. It makes no difference. It's the Bengals. It's not a conference matchup. Don't you kind of want to see them win after all they've been through already this season? All the nut punches they've taken through 5 weeks? No, I do. I do. Who's with me? Who is with me? I want to see the Lions. I wouldn't say I'm rooting for them, but I would like to see them win next week. I'll say it, and I said it. Before we get into the fun, God, I hope you're having fun already. I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love or at the very least tolerate. Twitter, LempsMKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Oh, more on the Twitter shenanigans here in a little bit. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. The email, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. For anyone listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating, 5 stars. We like you those the most. 4 stars are good too. If it's a comment, if it's positive, leave that. If it's negative, fine, leave that too. I'd prefer if it was positive, but whatever. We're on Spotify. You can find us by searching for Packers Talk. Look for our logo, which is the head of the Vince Lombardi statue, which sits outside Lambeau Field. And if you're listening on Spotify, drop me a line somewhere, Twitter, email, Facebook. Let me know you're listening on Spotify. I'd like to know. And we're on the iHeartRadio app, so look for us there as well. Okay, now that we've done got that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Let's talk about this Packers dub. First, let's take a drink of Charles Woodson wine. Now let's talk about this Packers dub. This heart attack inducing dub, so more like a what is this pain in my left arm dub, really more like that. I can't think of a better place to start. Where else could I possibly begin than by talking about the absolutely batshit insane final 2+ minutes of regulation and overtime? I can't think of any other way to do this. I'm just gonna kind of go possession by possession and take you through my moods here. Kind of talk about what I was experiencing. Maybe it's what you were experiencing also. It was nuts. So let's start with the first of Mason Crosby's missed field goals. Okay, so tie game. Bengals have just scored, gone for two, gotten it. Packers take over, 3 minutes and 27 seconds to go. Two timeouts left. Rodgers at the controls. We're feeling good. We're feeling good. I didn't sense any panic. I wasn't panicking. I was like, okay, a lot of time left. We saw what he did in San Francisco. Everything's going to be fine. The Bengals defense hadn't really slowed them down much. I'm like, at least they'll get it. I feel really good. At least they're going to get into Crosby's range for a game winner. First play of the drive. Aaron Jones, 57-yard run. More on that in a little bit. Beautiful run from 33. Right? Jonesy rips off a beauty. Down to the Cincinnati 18. Okay. We go Dylan up the middle. No gain. Rodgers incomplete pass. Rodgers incomplete pass. Deep right to Adams. Again, more on that play to Adams in a little bit. This is just going to be taking you through the drive, so I'm going to kind of move through some of the play-by-play stuff briskly. Fourth and 10 at the Cincy 18, 2 minutes and 14 seconds to go. Crosby's in for a 36-yard field goal. We're feeling good. We're feeling good. Didn't really manage the clock as well as you'd hope. Kind of hope maybe they'd run the ball once there on that second down or the third down. Make Cincinnati use some more timeouts or run some clock, but okay. Here comes Crosby. Everything's fine. Crosby misses. Wide left. Unbelievable. And like a bad miss. Like it was like, oh man, are you kidding me? Ugh. So now you're starting to feel a little panic. A little. Cincinnati takes over. 2 minutes and 11 seconds to go. And they start moving the ball. Now I'm really starting to. I'm saying you because I feel like all of us are feeling the same. I'll say me. Now I'm really starting to panic. Once Burrow hits Boyd for 8 yards, gets him into Green Bay territory with about 40 seconds left, now I'm like, okay, probably going to end up being a loss here. And I'm mad. And I'm kind of thinking it's not going to go well. But the Packers hold. Packers force them to kick a field goal. Fourth and two at the Green Bay 39. Cincinnati, I believe, came out like they were. Didn't Cincinnati come out like they were going to go for it? Shit, I got to go through my notes here. I should have added this in. Focusing on too much wine. Yes. So, fourth and two in the Green Bay 39. Cincinnati has a decision to make. Are they going to go for it? Aren't they? I personally, if I was Cincinnati, I think I would have gone for it. The thought of having to have Rodgers come back out with that much time, seeing what he just done against San Francisco, you know, a couple weeks back, you're thinking, I don't feel great about this. But Cincinnati brings McPherson out to kick. He's got a big leg, and he hits the upright. Are you kidding me? So now, I've gone from, I'm feeling good, to, oh man, they're going to lose, this sucks, it's my birthday, to thinking, oh my God, Aaron Rodgers takes over. Okay, there's only 21 seconds left, but they're at their own 47. They only really need to hit one play. I'm like, they only really need about 18 yards. And they get 20. First and 10, Rodgers goes over the middle to Adams. Picks up 20, gets down, Rodgers spikes it. Does the fist pump just like he did in San Francisco. 4 seconds left. Holy shit, we're going to steal. We're going to come out of this with the win. And he missed again. 51, Mason Crosby. He fucking missed again. He missed badly. Just terrible miss. Whew. And now I'm like, I can't believe it. So now it's like, yay. We're feeling good. Oh, we're going to lose. We're going to win. Oh, we're going to overtime. And it's just like, up, down, up, down, up, down. Terrible. So now we go to overtime. And they send Crosby out for the coin toss. And he misses that. He calls tails. Tails fails. Cincinnati gets the ball. Okay. This is not looking good. The first play, Burrow makes a terrible decision. Again, more on this in a minute. Terrible decision, some miscommunication. He's picked off my guy, Devondre Campbell, Sky Uma. Oh my God, my guy from the University of Minnesota. He's going to be the reason the Packers win. He gets the pick down to the Cincy 17. All right. Okay, so Crosby's missed two. They're either going to get the touchdown or he's not going to miss three. Not Mason. Not our guy. He missed three. Holy shit, he missed the third one. Interesting play calling on that. The Packers go with two runs, send Crosby out on third down. Again, skipping or going quick here. I'm going to touch on this stuff as we move on. Two runs, didn't like that, really hated that. They send Crosby out. How can you have any faith in him? 40-yard field goal, wide left. Crosby missed. So now if my voice sounds a little worn, that was the moment it started to become worn. That was when I was slamming my hat down. I was stringing curse words together like a virtuoso the way I was stringing curse words together. I think I was making up. I think I was speaking in tongues or in Latin like Chucky at the end of the Child's Play movie, the first one. Where he's like trying to conjure up the guy from the grave or whatever, the spirit of that guy needs to speak. I think that's like that. I got so mad I was like speaking Latin. I had crossed over. It was bad. It was bad. But I was like, I mean, like, are you kidding me? You know? And you know what? I'll save what I was gonna say there. We'll get to that in a second. So now Cincinnati, okay. Now Cincinnati's they're gonna win. Their kicker's not gonna miss again. They start moving the ball downfield. I'm like, yeah, they're gonna, yeah. Because they already had great field position, you know. Once they got into Green Bay territory on a Joe Mixon run, or no, it was the pass to Jamar Chase that got him to the Green Bay 41. I'm like, they're gonna win. There's no way the Packers are gonna escape this twice. Although Cincinnati might have been thinking the same thing. Probably were Cincinnati fans. Packers hold him. Fourth and one at the Green Bay 32. McPherson comes out for 49 yards. No good. He thought he made it. That's the funniest part. If none of this was fucking crazy enough, the kicker thought he fucking made that one. He was like celebrating and jumping up and down and hooting. I didn't even see it that he was doing that till after because I was watching the kick. And it looked good initially. I was like, okay, so it's game over. And then it kept going, trailing. I'm like, oh my God. And it just barely, like, it hit the flag. It hit the flag. I don't know if I've ever seen a kick hit the flag at any level. He hit the flag on the outside and missed. Unbelievable. And he was prematurely celebrating, which makes the whole thing even more hysterical. So now I'm like, Jesus, the Packers. At this point, I'll be totally honest with you, because that's what you expect from me. I actually thought the game was going to end in a tie at that point. Because I was like, how much time was even left after he missed that kick? 4 minutes and 13 seconds. Packers take over at their own 39. I'm like, they got great field position, but you can't trust Crosby, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to get a touchdown. It had that weird feeling. I don't know if anybody else thought this, but I was like, this is going to end in a fucking tie. It didn't. As the Packers get on the move, big play to Mercedes Lewis. Big play to Randall Cobb on third down. Didn't quite get the first. Got close enough. They bring Mason Crosby out. You know, I've always said you can't give Mason Crosby four tries in a row. I've always said that. But the fourth try in a row, three misses, try number four, nails it. 49 yards, basically right down the middle. Packers win. So the first question I want to get to, because I got a lot of this on Twitter. People were furious at me after Crosby missed the kick at the end of regulation. I tweeted simply, oh, fuck you, Mason. People were furious. I lost a ton of followers. I had a ton of people go, not cool, bro. I was like, are you guys kidding me? And then he missed the first one in overtime. And I go, oh, do you guys still think I'm being too hard on Mason Crosby? And people were like, yeah, there were still people that were, yeah. Thankfully, there were more people that were like, no, you were justified. You really are now. So here's the thing. Was I too hard on Mason Crosby? Absolutely fucking not. I know he'd made 26 or 27 kicks in a row. And I know we all love Mason like he's family. A kicker can have an entire, I mean, look at Gary Anderson. Go back to Gary Anderson for the 98 Vikings. The guy made every kick all year. The biggest kick of the season, NFC Championship game, he missed. No one remembers all the ones you make. They remember, if you miss a big one like that, they remember the ones you miss. That's now obviously smaller circumstances here with Mason, but that's just the life of a kicker. That's just, that's the business they've chosen, to quote The Godfather. There's a Godfather too. That's just the, that's the business, man. That's the reality of being a kicker. You know, it's like being an offensive lineman. You can have 1,000 great pass blocks in a row, but if you miss one and the quarterback gets crushed and he's injured, that's the one people remember. Is that fair? No, but that's the way it is. So no, I wasn't being too harsh on Crosby. You know, he almost cost him the game. Not to mention he missed an extra point early in the game. Is there a bigger turd in the punch bowl than a missed PAT? Especially when it doinks off the uprights like his. I mean, it's bad. But that's just the job of being a kicker. Like, it sucks, but that's the reality, man. You know, and like I said, like, I consider Crosby family. What, you've never said fuck you to anybody in your family before? There's some people on Twitter, boy, you guys got some great, you guys got some perfect Partridge Family-esque families. Like the fucking Brady Bunch. You've never said fuck you to somebody in your family? Really? Get the fuck out of here. Come on. Like, I love Crosby. And I wasn't like I was on Twitter saying he should be cut. I never said that. I just said fuck you because I was mad at him. You can be mad at your family. It's okay. Doesn't mean you don't love them or any of that. It's just you're mad at them. Well, that was me with Crosby at that moment. So for anybody who said I wasn't being cool or fuck, you're soft. Sorry. You're just soft. Sorry that you're soft. That's a you problem, not a me problem. I don't feel bad about it. You know, and it was nice to see Mason get the redemption at the end. Because, again, I love Mason Crosby. I don't want him to fail. It was great that he got that kick at the end and he made it. And the Packers won. It worked out. So, yeah, just crazy finish. And I'll tell you what, it's great that the Packers ended up winning. Because, honestly, and I, you know, I don't want to take too much away from the Bengals. Because I do think they're a team on the rise, for sure. But I thought the Packers outplayed them by a fairly wide margin for most of the game. Yeah, absolutely. Now, they certainly left a lot of plays on the table, which, of course, I am going to get to. Don't worry. But the Packers were the better team, which had me, and you also, I'd be willing to bet, just furious as that final stretch was playing out. Because, man, you just hate losing games like that. There is nothing worse than having to do the loser, well, you know, we outplayed them, just couldn't get the win thing. That's the worst. I hate doing that. Everybody hates having to do that thing. It sucks. You know, offensively, number of standouts, number of really good performances. Got to start by talking about Davante Adams. Got to start with Davante. What a freaking towering performance from Davante Adams. Just outstanding. 11 catches, 206 yards and a score. He crosses the 200-yard mark. It was his first career 200-yard game. And he was, you know what, that was peak Devontae. We are watching, it's almost more of an artist than a wide receiver at this point. It's like crossed over to something more, you know, watching him. You're watching an elite, elite, great talent in the absolute meat, middle prime of it. He's right in the heart of the prime of his career. Right in the middle of it. Yeah. Right in the meaty part of his prime. That's where he is right now. He was killing Cincinnati in every which way. Short, intermediate, deep, sideline stuff, work in the middle, going up to get balls, you know, racking up the yak. He was doing all of it. It was just, it was awe-inspiring. You know, it really was. For a guy like that who's given us as much as he's given us, to still leave us in awe like he did after today, it says a lot about Devontae. But what an all-time talent we're watching as far as Packers receivers go. Absolutely. And his connection with Rodgers is just special. It's special. You know, those two guys are just in sync. They never feel, there's no situation where they feel like they can't connect. They can't make something happen. It's incredible, you know? I mean, they make the fade work, for God's sakes. They make the goal line fade work. Nobody makes the goal line fade work in the NFL. Teams run it. I don't know why, because it doesn't work. But they make it work. That's Devontae's touchdown. Came on a fade. He just skied up over the guy and plucked it and got it. It was a 5-yard score, I believe. Yeah. Incredible. And Rodgers, you know what? Overall, Rodgers was really good. I do want to say Rodgers was really good in this one. 27-39, 344 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, 8.8 yards per attempt. a good performance. Those numbers are even more impressive when you consider how dog shit he was in that first quarter. He was fucking terrible in the first quarter. 4 of 9 for 33 yards and a pick. And yeah, I mean, he rebounded nice after. The final three quarters? 23 of 30 for 311 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive that he could shake that off like that. Yeah. Made a handful of really extra impressive throws, as Rodgers tends to do almost every week. That one I want to highlight, the 3rd and 5 throw to Tonyan in the third quarter, where he was under pressure and kind of, it was like a sidearm sling to Tonyan, and he got it for the first down. That was impressive. That'll probably get lost to history and all the craziness that went on today, but I want to highlight that throw because that was great. That was a great throw from Rodgers. Really impressive. Another nice day from the backs, the Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon tandem. Nice work from those two. Funny that last week it was Dillon on the ground and Jonesy through the air, and then this week that flipped. Aaron Jones, 14 carries, 103 yards, only had 6 yards on 4 catches, which is, I don't think I've ever seen Jonesy have that low of a receiving yard total, at least when you consider he had 4 grabs. So, yeah, 18 touches for 109 yards, most of that coming on the ground. Dillon, 4 catches, 49 yards and a score, also had 8 rushes for 30 yards, so 12 touches for 79 yards and a touchdown from him. So really, really nice work from that combo. Dillon, I want to talk about him as a receiver. He's slowly but surely been getting better as a receiver each week. You've really noticed it this season. Sunday was another big step in his development, I think. His touchdown grab, he showed some really nifty footwork on the sideline and was able to get to the pylon even after he got hit and lifted off his feet. I don't know who that guy is that was able to hit him and lift him off his feet, but I can only assume he's the strongest man alive to be able to do that to A.J. Dillon. To basically de-cleat him, that was a big hit. But he got the touchdown. Great stuff. Some good, tough running from him also. And Jonesy, his big run late in the fourth, touchdown a little earlier. Again, may end up being forgotten a little bit because the drive ended in a Crosby miss. Which one? But man, that was outstanding. Jones looked dead to rights in the backfield. He looked like dead fucking meat. And he broke a tackle, made a move, hit the hole, and was off to the races for a 57-yard gain, adding the exclamation point, which I loved, with the shove of a Cincinnati defender right at the end of his run. Love that. That was awesome. He's just tough. He's a hard-nosed player. He ain't the biggest guy, but he's one of the toughest out there. I guarantee you that. And, you know, it was tough sledding the rest of the way for Jonesy on the ground because of the new-look offensive line. Cincinnati's got a good front seven. Another new-look offensive line, I should say. But he ran hard throughout, and he did what he could. And it was a winning effort from Aaron Jones and from A.J. Dillon. Another great week for those two. As for that new-look offensive line with Lucas Patrick at center in place of Josh Myers, who was out with a finger injury, Elgton Jenkins was also out once again with his ankle injury. It was overall solid enough, I would say. Rodgers was sacked twice. He was hit 8 times. Not great. Under pressure quite a bit. But again, that's a strong front seven in Cincinnati. So it's hard to fault what they did too much. You know, I mean, again, they're on the road down 3 preferred starters. Bakhtiari, Jenkins, Myers. You know, and yet, again, things did not fall apart. They held the thing together enough. That is something. That is impressive. And then maybe two of the biggest plays for Green Bay all day, again, touched on these earlier, came from the unlikely duo of Mercedes Lewis and Randall Cobb on the final drive of overtime. Lewis catches a little play-action pass from Rodgers, breaks some tackles, picks up 20. Man, I tell you what. Big dog. He is roughly 127 years old, but he is still a beast. I guarantee you, defenders shit themselves when they see him rumbling their way. Guarantee it. He may move as fast as a fucking rascal scooter, but he is still terrifying. Guarantee you that. And then Cobbie with the 15-yard catch on 3rd and 16 that set up Crosby the game. Big snag. Caught the ball, got hit right away, still hung on to it. The Fox line was way off on that because they gave him the first down. According to the line, then the ref said he was short, but I thought he had it. I think everybody thought he had it. Then they were like, oh, our line was way off. I was like, how much money does Fox invest in these games? How is their line so off? That was pathetic from Fox. But, yeah, big grab from Cobb to set up the game winner. It was awesome, you know? It's good stuff. So, yeah, some great performances, some great moments, but they did leave a lot of points on the table. obviously in large part due to Crosby. But also, some of the play calling was weird. And by weird, I mean Matt LaFleur got way too conservative at times. Now we talk about this. Running the ball twice after Devondre Campbell's overtime opening interception and bringing Crosby in on third down after he just missed two in the fourth quarter is... That was dumb. That was... Look, listen, I understand not wanting to... You know, you don't want to risk turning the ball over. But I also understand you've got Aaron Rodgers. And you've got Devontae Adams and Tonyan. And, I mean, to not even try one pass play in that scenario... That was really bad. That was really shit play calling from Matt LaFleur. Terrible. That was a terrible job. Did not like that at all. You know? It's nice to see LaFleur admitted after the game that he was too conservative. That's nice to see. Though, again, I know he said this before, so who knows if he actually means it. I don't know. Just, that was bad. I didn't like that. And there were other play calling stuff. And then other times it was just, you know, it's just a matter of being a tick off on some things. I talked about this. Now, Rodgers, again, I mentioned earlier, had Adams in the end zone on 3rd and 10, just over 2 minutes left in regulation in the fourth quarter. But the pressure got there. He had to throw a little bit earlier than he wanted, couldn't quite throw it like he wanted to, and he just overshot him. He had Adams wide open. If Rodgers has a tick longer to throw, that's a walk. That's a, you know, it's an easy touchdown for Adams. And the game's over. So, you know, that's not play. That was the right call. Just didn't quite execute it well enough. So, but overall, yeah, you know, it was good. It was good offensively. Some good performances. It could have been even better, but it was good. It worked. Defensively, largely the same story. Overall, strong effort. I would say, actually, I'll say it was the best effort of the Joe Barry era so far. Yeah. I think so. When you consider the level of opponent, it being a road game, and the fact that Green Bay was even more shorthanded than they've been thus far on defense as a result of not having Jaire Alexander, yeah, I think you can say that. Jaire, as I'm sure you know by now, is out with a shoulder injury that landed him on short-term IR Saturday, so he's out at least 2 more weeks after this. Super glad I bought the Jaire throwback to wear for the Washington game 2 weeks from today now. That's great. Great decision. Good call, Chris. So, yeah, it was good. Good performance. Now, they had some lapses and some troubling, and there are some troubling issues that still remain. Let's talk about the good. The defense. The good for the defense, they kept the Bengals in check for large stretches of the game, forced a bunch of three and outs. They consistently pressured Joe Burrow, who, I'll say this about Burrow, once he gets an offensive line of some real fucking maulers up front, the AFC is in trouble. The AFC, he's big time. Joe Burrow's big time. Yeah, he's gonna do great things in Cincinnati for sure. But they consistently pressured him, mostly bottled up Cincy's ground attack. They got big turnovers when they needed them and had a handful of really strong performances. I mentioned Campbell's pick earlier. Campbell, my guy, Sky Uma, he just continues to make big plays. Yeah, there was a miscommunication with Cincy's offense and Burrow made a terrible decision, but Campbell knew exactly where to be, got there for the interception, just keeps coming up with big plays, keeps coming up with turnovers. Oop, Weinberg, got to keep it real. What a great signing. What a great signing. 1 year, $2 million? Man, it's not an accident that things look more cohesive and in sync on defense since he got to Green Bay. You know, he also had a nice run stop early in the fourth quarter. And you know, what did I just say? What did I just say last week about good inside linebackers? Like the fucking rug in the Big Lebowski, they tie the room together. You know, they just do. This is why people like me and others have been clamoring for years for the Packers to get serious about the inside linebacker position, to get at least some sort of a player there. Because when you have one, it just makes everything else work a lot easier. Both Campbell and Big Dog are the kind of low-risk, potentially high-upside free agent signings that Ted Thompson, may he rest in peace, never really made. But that Goot is making, and I'm so glad for that. Those moves cost you nothing if they fail. And if they hit, they can hit huge. I'm so glad that he's doing that. That's great. That's great to see. Speaking of forcing turnovers, really nice interception from Adrian Amos on Cincy's first drive of the second half, the first drive for either team in the half, actually. Nice work to recover, close, and get in front of the receiver for the pick. Yeah, it was good stuff. Burrow was under heavy pressure from Kenny Clark on that, too. And Clark had another outstanding day. He has been so good this season, hasn't he? Jesus. He had that play. He made the big run stuff for a loss on P. Ryan early in the fourth. Had two tackles, and then had two tackles for a loss on the day. I probably don't talk about Kenny enough. My apologies, man. But everyone who listens regularly, I think you all know how much I love that guy. He is great, and he is really playing some outstanding football. Yeah, outstanding football. Love that dude. Chris Barnes had a sack. Preston Smith had another sack. TJ Slayton and Dean Lowry combined for a sack. And then Lowry bats a pass down the next play. I said on Twitter after that batted pass, if Lowry was playing like this, anything was possible for this game. And it turns out I was fucking 110% right. Even I could not have predicted it would get as weird as it got. But yeah. Rashawn Gary drew a huge holding call that wiped out a Burrow first down scramble. And took Cincinnati out of field goal range late in the third. That's as big as a sack. Because it killed the drive. So, yeah. Great work from Gary there. And Eric Stokes drew the Jamar Chase assignment in Alexander's place. And while it was not always pretty at all, he battled and he made some nice plays as well. And Chase, man, again, talking about Burrow, Chase is going to be big time. That Burrow to Chase connection, I mean, they were teammates at LSU. That was nice work by Cincy drafting him. I criticized the move on draft day because I said, you know, they need offensive linemen to protect Burrow. He's coming off the torn knee. But I still think that's true. But getting Chase, I mean, a guy that he knows, that was big. That connection's going to wreck the AFC for years to come. So that's the good. Now the bad. The red zone defense is a problem, folks. Since he was 3 of 3 on red zone trips Sunday, including a 2-point conversion on its final trip. Which also seems to be a problem for the defense, 2-point conversions, but I digress. It's not just that this defense is struggling to get stops in the red zone. It's that we all know the opponent's going to score. They're going to reach pay dirt when they get down there against this defense. So guy might as well go grab another beer. They're not going to stop him. As for why, I'm not really sure. To me, my amateur eye, it feels like they're not quite sure if they want to be aggressive or not once the opponent reaches the red zone. So they're kind of in this no man's land of like, well, we want to be aggressive, but we want to cover two, and I'm not sure that works. You've either got to really pressure to get to the quarterback or, you know, player, you got to play coverage. And it just feels like that's where they're struggling. Again, I may be totally wrong on that. That's just how it feels to me at the moment. I do know at some point you got to start holding them to field goals, even if it's just occasionally. I'd say for some turnovers too, but hey, fucking baby steps for now. Let's just hold them to some field goals to start. So that covers the issues part. The lapses part comes late in the first half. Packers go up 16-7 on the aforementioned Rodgers to Adams touchdown. Minute 7 to go in the half. You can't give up a big play here. You just can't. It can't happen. You got to get to the locker room at 16-7. By hook or by crook, you got to get to the locker room at 16-7. And yet, they didn't. As Burrow on second down with a ton of time, chucks one deep to Chase that just got past Darnell Savage's arms, and Chase does the rest, walking in for the score that covered 70 yards in all. To get beat on that type of play in that spot, it's just, I'm sorry, it's inexcusable. The Bengals were just playing backyard football on that shit, and Green Bay still got beat, you know? And Savage, you know, I know we all like him, and I know it's not an easy play to make, but it's one he simply has to make if he wants to take that next step in his development, you know? And as far as that development goes, I have to say I've been disappointed by Savage this season. Yeah, so far. He's been solid. He hasn't been terrible. But I mean, you know, through 5 games, he has 1 pass defended and 1 tackle for loss. That's it. No picks, no fumbles forced, no fumble recoveries, no sacks, nothing as far as the major playmaking stats are concerned. Nothing. You know, after that incredible stretch last year where he was racking up at least a pick a week and looked like he had top 5 safety potential, to see him fall back, it's been a disappointment. Yeah, I thought he was going to get even better. He's fallen back. You know, and look, he's the guy Gutekunst traded up for in the first round of the 2019 draft. It's year 3. It's not like he's a rookie. It's year 3. It's time to start putting this all together. He's got to start making some plays. They didn't do all this just for a solid player. They did all this because they were hoping to get a fucking playmaking stud. And that's not happening. So that covers the defense. You know, honestly, at this point, I talk about the special teams, but holy fucking shit. Have I done enough of that, I'd say, wouldn't you? Though really quick, I will say Corey Bjorquez had another solid day punting. And Amari Rodgers, you got to stop all the east-west dancing on the punt returns, man. You got to go north-south. Come on, baby. Turn that shit upfield. Try to make a play. Okay, that's all on special teams. So I asked people to submit questions via Twitter or the email or Facebook, and folks did not disappoint. Maybe people felt bad for me because it's my birthday. This is good wine. Goddamn. You want to know why Charles Woodson gets to the Hall of Fame? Stuff like it's because he's just that good. Hall of Fame winemaker. I'm sure that's coming next. All right, so let's get to those questions now. Let's start with Twitter. These questions are in... let me just check something really quick. These questions are in no particular order. So let's start with... how far am I at on the show here? Oh my God, 40 minutes. Well, it's my birthday, right? Go Shorty, it's your birthday. All right. Start with Justin A. Cornwall, friend of the show. Justin Cornwall, friend of the show, at Justin A. Cornwall. There we go. He writes, another tip of the cap to the O-line with three backups playing well enough to win. These Bengals games are wild for reasons I'll never understand. And wild is an understatement this time. Just take the win and go home. Happy birthday, my friend. Oh, thank you, Justin. Yeah, I agree. The offensive line, you know, I talked about it earlier, it wasn't as pretty as it's been. I suspect a lot of that had to do with Myers being out and Patrick being in and being on the road against a good front seven. But yeah, you're right. They played well enough. They did the damn thing well enough to win, for sure. Yeah, and the Bengals games are wild. You know, I talked about this a little bit last week. I talked about it on Twitter this past week that the Packers are 1-2 against the Bengals in Rodgers' tenure. They lost at Lambeau in 2009. They lost the wild one in Cincinnati in 2013 that you may remember as the Jonathan Franklin fumble game. And then they won at Lambeau in 2017 in overtime. The big Rodgers to Geronimo Allison play that set up the game winner. So yeah, it's always, like I said in the opening, it's always weird when they play the Bengals. I have no idea why. But it's just strange. They say familiarity breeds contempt. I guess lack of familiarity breeds fucking weirdness. I don't know. It's just wild shit, man, for sure. But yeah, you're right. You know, hey, win's a win. And when you're as beat up as Green Bay is, you'll take it. Philip Voss at P underscore Voss writes, gritty win. Fully planned for a wacky, crazy game against an uncommon AFC opponent. Rodgers was great. Defense was surprisingly game. Rough day for Mace, but a W here was complete theft. Got to get healthy quick. Yeah, I agree. You know, I'm going to talk about that a little bit more towards the end of the show. It was a really gritty, tough win. It was a good win. Damn good win for the Packers team. Just Packers team. That's funny. You planned for a wacky game. I didn't. You know why? Because I thought, well, it's always been weird. It's not like this one's going to be weird, too. No, it was just as fucking weird as the rest of these Bengals games have been. Their first time winning in Cincinnati since 1998, I believe, which is crazy. I was a junior in high school in 1998. That's a long time ago, man. I was wearing Limp Bizkit t-shirts and going to Ozfest. That stuff's still cool. But I mean, like, that's where I was doing then. That was a long time ago. It was Ozfest 99 I went to, which is awesome, by the way. Yeah, Rodgers was really good. The defense, like I said, I thought it was the best defensive effort of the Joe Barry era, for sure. Small sample size, but I think it was the best effort, considering all the factors. And I would agree with you. It was complete. They basically stole one. Yeah, I would agree that it wasn't... Well, I thought they outplayed Cincinnati. I stand by that, but the way things went at the end, right at the end, they stole it, for sure. And yes, they do have to get healthy. Elaine S. at Captain Elaine. Oh, my old friend Elaine S. We've been friends on Twitter since right at the damn beginning. Yeah. She's great. She says, happy birthday. I'm glad the Pack gave you a win, but I'm sorry it came with a side of a heart attack. Yeah, there's a good chance I'm actually dead, Elaine, and I'm doing this podcast from the beyond. And that win actually killed me, and like Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense, I just don't know that I'm dead. So, yeah. It's definitely possible that happened. Because I think I died at least twice during the game, for sure. Kevin Hankart, the second, at Hankart Jr., writes, first off, happy birthday. Another week and another great performance by a young O-line. Unbelievable. What a nerve-wracking game, though. Like I said last week, a win is a win. And then he also sent me a gif of Harry and Lloyd high-fiving after Jim Carrey procures the... scooter in Dumb and Dumber, which I like. That'll always get a mention. Ain't Dumb and Dumber stuff I'll mention on the show. I don't know if I'd say it was a great performance by the young O-line. I would say, again, they did the damn thing well enough to win, and you got to tip your cap to them for that. It was nerve-wracking, and you're right. You did write in last week, Kevin. You said just they have to win these next stretch of games by any means necessary with as beat up as they are, and you were absolutely right. You know? It's often not going to be pretty at all with as beat up as they are. It's not going to be pretty until they start getting guys back, I wouldn't think. But, you know, these wins all mean something. They're all, you know, building towards something towards the end of the year. So it's good to see. So those are all the Twitter questions I got. Let's go to the email. I got some emails, too. Absolutely. Let's go to the first one here from Kyle, who used to have Twitter. Here we go. Although I no longer have Twitter, I do creep in during game days to yours and a few other threads. It amazes me how there are certain personalities, rhymes with Schmarin Takler, who will absolutely not tolerate any negativity towards Packers players, no matter how deserved, and challenges their football acumen for doing so the worst. Against three pretty great wide receivers, the D held up pretty well. Ugly game, but the team showed resilience. Let's fucking go. Go, Pack, go. Schmarin Takler. I don't know who is Schmarin Takler. I don't know who that is. All right. So I'm not going to... I don't want to go... Kyle, you can't send me these emails after I've been drinking wine. Especially Charles Woodson wine. I don't want to call anybody out in particular. I will say, yes, there is a subset of people on the social media that are very... I call them the uber-positive Peters and positive Paulies. Who don't want to... They don't. It's true. There are people who don't want to hear any negativity. That just... They won't tolerate. It's weird to me. Like... It's like I said earlier about Crosby. Even if we view these guys as family, you can be mad at your family. That's fine. You can say, like, you're not doing well. These guys are paid a lot of money to play a game. They're paid to execute. And when they don't, I don't think there's anything wrong in saying that it's, you know, not good enough. It's weird to me to see the world any other way, especially sports. Because I was a sports reporter, man. Like, you got to call it like it is in that job. That's what I've always tried to do. I've always tried to just call it like, if it's good, I say it's good. If it's shit, I say it's shit. And anything in between. I tell you what I think is the truth. That's me. Yeah, challenge. There are definitely people that do that, that challenge. What do you know? Well, nobody really knows anything. We're all just fans watching the game on Twitter. Nobody really, even the people, and there's a lot of people who do these video breakdowns and stuff on Twitter. That stuff to me is like fireworks. It should only be handled by people who really know what they're doing. Like, you'll never see me on Twitter like, let me rerun this playback. Okay. So they're running this and this guy's doing this. Because how do we know? There's some people who are really good at it, but there are some people who like do it and it's like, man, I don't know. I don't know if you should be handling these Roman candles. I think these M80s might be a little dangerous for you. So, you know, again, I don't want to call anybody out. But, yeah, it's some of that stuff is just very bizarre to me, you know. There's some people who do it well. You know, my guy Dustin, or Dusty Everly, is one of the guys. He's very good at it. He's very, very good at it. Other people, not as much. But he's one of the ones I will say, Dusty Everly, you should follow him. He's really good. Yeah, the Bengals, I mean, they have three pretty good wide receivers. Chase is, again, going to be a stud. Boyd's good. Higgins is good. Uzoma, the tight end, they have weapons. The D held up about as well as you could expect. Do I think Cincinnati scores 22 points if Jair plays? Absolutely not. No. Again, Jair healthy, the Packers win this game fairly easily, I think. So to get the win anyways was big. Yeah, and it did show resilience. I agree, Kyle. All right. Kyle Terpenning, who still does not have Twitter, God bless you, Kyle, writes, unfortunately, I was unable to watch the game. I had to follow along as best I could on my Packers apps. Was instead having heart pains from Crosby and our non-existent red zone defense and severe back pain from moving a 500-pound piano. The things I do for my wife, moving a piano on game day. Can we just pause? What a husband! Moving a 500-pound piano for his wife on game day. What good work that is from you, Kyle. Tip of the cap. Still, that defense is better until it gets to the red zone. Dear God, that red zone defense is so bad. What the hell? Please help me figure out why it's so putrid. Crosby had a horrendous day, but I still have trust in him. He's had bad days before, but he's always come back to give us the win. See week 3 versus San Francisco. Go, Pack, go. Okay. How do I? How, I'm gonna try to help you figure it out. I don't know. I talked about it before already. I think it still feels like they don't really know what kind of defense they want to be in the red zone. You know, do they want to attack? Do they want to cover? Do they want to focus on the? Feels like they're not really sure, and because they're not really sure, everything is kind of open, and that's why they struggle. That's my knee-jerk take. I hope that makes you feel better. That's the best thing I can come up with right now. Yeah, and you know, I get still having trust in Crosby. Yeah, and you're right. He's had bad days before. I mean, the Detroit game back in 2018? The all-time abysmal afternoon in Detroit. And yeah, he bounces back. That's the thing about Crosby. He bounces back. So, yeah, I agree, you know. This game doesn't... As harsh as I was on Crosby, like on social media and even earlier in the show, I still have a lot of faith in him going forward. I haven't lost any faith in him. It was just a shitty afternoon. But I don't think he should be cut. I don't think any of that crazy stuff. I still have faith in Mason Crosby. It was just a bad day. And I don't think there's anything wrong calling somebody out for having a bad day. It's the National Football League. It's not high school, you know? So, yeah. All right. So that, and then Kyle also adds, oh, and a huge birthday of happiness to you. Thank you so much. It has been a pretty good birthday. Packers won. I got to take a nap afterwards for like an hour and 15 minutes. My wife and kids went and got me cake and ice cream and cards and drinking some wine. And yeah, it was good stuff. It was fun times. Yeah, it's been a good day. It's been a good... This 40 started out good. I got to say, it started out well. Okay. D-Fish, who writes in from Sunny... I believe he's still in Sunny Casablanca. I'm big in Casablanca, if you didn't know. He writes in, just watched on slight tape delay. Verdict is, I'll take it. Jair and Z out, we need wins. What was the problem with the offense? AJ is a stud. Was it offensive play calling? And I want to say quick two apologies to D-Fish and Kyle, who refuses to get Twitter, because they wrote in last week, and I didn't see your emails for some reason until well after I'd finished. They never showed up in my inbox. I don't know why. I know I wrote both you guys, but apologies again on that. What was the problem with the offense? Well, they got too conservative at times. Early in the game, Rodgers was not playing within the offense. A lot of hero ball stuff, a lot of deep ball chasing. And they get away from the run too much at times. That still happened again today. It was kind of a hodgepodge of things, you know? And conservative play calling at times, but then not running the ball enough at times. Rodgers not playing the offense. It was a lot of, you know, and again, like I talked about, the play to Adams that normally would have won it if Rodgers just has a second longer to pass the ball. So it was stuff like that, too. It was kind of a mix of everything, really. And yeah, AJ's a stud. He's a stud. He's big time, you know. Having both those guys is great because, you know, you can keep both of them fresh. It's great. It's great having both those guys, yeah. AJ Dillon, he's a monster for sure. And then the final email comes from Rich. I don't know if Rich wants me to say, I'll say, well, Rich Streeter. I hope that's okay me saying your last name, Rich. If it's not, let me know. Rich writes in, okay, I'll say it. Why do we put up with Rodgers, who acted like a spoiled child to get rid of McCarthy so he could play with a modern offensive scheme, only to watch him refuse to play within the system he begged for? When he plays within it, he is MVP-ish. When he decides to check out of runs and hold the ball for more than 3 seconds and try to play the hero, we almost lose to the freaking Bengals. That game should not have needed to rely on Mr. Crosby's foot. Well, I believe this is your first time writing in, Rich, so thank you for that. Why do we put up with it? Well, I will agree with you. Rodgers annoys the shit out of me at times, as I've said on the show. I'm still not thrilled about how he handled himself last summer. I'll never be thrilled with it, if I'm being honest. We put up with it in part because he's the quarterback and because he makes plays that no one else can make. Or very few guys can make. It's like that show Playmakers, the very short-lived ESPN show, which is brilliant if you haven't seen it, from the early 2000s, which the NFL basically forced him to cancel. There's a scene in there where the star running back who's addicted to drugs says, if you're a playmaker, the rules don't apply to you. That's kind of the way it is with Rodgers, as much as I hate saying it. It's true. It's just, we put up with him because he makes these plays that no one else can make. And, you know, and he knows that, and he takes full advantage of it. But you're right. And that's not defending Rodgers, because I hate when he does that shit too. But you're right. I mean, when he plays within the system, you're totally right. The first quarter today I talked about was a great example of that. He did not play within the system at all. It was all deep ball chasing, home run stuff. You know? They were doing nothing. And then the Bengals get their first score by focusing on the run and the short to intermediate passing game. They get rewarded. Funny how that works. But then Rodgers kind of, it felt like he settled down and started playing within the offense. And you're right, he was lethal. You're absolutely right, Rich, for sure. When he plays within the system, he's as good or better than any quarterback alive. But when he, you know, the hero, the deep ball stuff, the checking out of runs, it's frustrating at times, for sure. Yeah. It's kind of the, you know, the ebb and flow, the give and take, hit and miss with Aaron Rodgers, the way it is, you know, when it's, you got to put up with the shit because he does this other stuff, which is out of this world. Is that fair? Is that right? Probably not. It's kind of just the way it is, you know. So those are the email questions. And then I do have one more from Facebook. Someone messaged the old bag of the LTP page, which is just the old bag of donuts page because Facebook won't let me change it. Sean LaFond. Sean, thank you for your cool email last week saying that I'm officially your number one Packers podcast. I really appreciate that. He said, never saw the winning kick, broadcast cut off. I hope you went to the game. Happy birthday. Yeah, I saw some of that on Twitter. People were complaining that they didn't get to see the end, that it cut to the beginning of Dallas, Washington. It cut to Dallas running out of the tunnel. What a failure from Fox on that. That's dumb. I know the rules are the rules, but like, dude, people are watching this game. Let them see the end of it. Well, it cut to Dallas Giants? Dallas Giants. The Giants who are ass. Really? Come on, Fox. So that sucks. I'm sorry you didn't get to see the kick. I didn't go to the game, as I mentioned earlier, but thank you for the happy birthday wishes. It's always appreciated. So that wraps up all the questions. Thank you to everyone who sent along something. It is always appreciated. Big picture time, 56 minutes in. Oh, my God. Again, you can't get mad at me because it's my birthday. With each passing week, it feels as though the Packers lose another major contributor. David Bakhtiari, Za'Darius Smith, Elgton Jenkins, MVS, now Josh Myers and Jaire Alexander. Yet as the roster losses mount, the number in the win column rises. And while each of those wins has been satisfying in its own particular way, Sunday's triumph was perhaps Green Bay's sweetest of the season. The Packers had more than one ready-made excuse had they decided to airmail it in Sunday. Injuries, the heat, an AFC opponent in early October on the road. And that list of potential excuses only grew longer as the game went on. The kicker having an abysmal day, the offense stalling too many times, questionable play calling. But they never gave in, never wavered. They kept their effort, energy, and intensity high. They showed real resiliency, real toughness, and were ultimately rewarded with a victory. Strange as it may have been. That toughness is something that they can carry with them the rest of the season. And when you remember that most or maybe even all those injured parties will return to action at some point in the weeks and months ahead, you can allow yourself to dream, if only for a moment, of how great the rest of the season may be. So that just about wraps up this episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I hope you all had as much fun listening as I did recording it. Again, this is very long, but whatever. It's been fun. It's been a blast. We look ahead now to next week. The Packers will be back in action, back on the road again, heading to Soldier Field for a battle for first place in the North with the Chicago Bears and the NFL's oldest rivalry. That one is also thankfully set for a noon Lambeau time kickoff. The Bears will be another good test. That was a nice win over Vegas on Sunday. Chicago getting back to their usual formula of running the ball, playing defense, and it worked for them. Hopefully some injured Packers will return, at least maybe Jenkins and Myers. That would help a great deal, I think. And of course, I'll be back next Sunday night to recap that one win, lose, or draw. Damn, we almost saw a draw today, didn't we? Obviously, you'll hear it next Monday morning, so keep your eyes and ears out for that one. I'll definitely keep you posted. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This has been Lemps Talk and Pack. Thank you so very much for listening and for spending some time with me on my birthday, Packer Nation. I love you, I love you, I love you. Stay safe out there in this crazy world, and remember, always and forever, go, Pack, go.